Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, the draft is next for the National Hockey League, so you now know where you're going with that.
I think there's going to be some fascinating things are going to happen. It's going to try and happen. Look, teams are not going to be able to stand pat. That's a given.
How about that?
Just don't forget, 48 hours after the day two of the draft, free agency hits. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things going on in the National Hockey League.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good morning, Canada, or good afternoon to our Eastern Canadian friends. Welcome to the RP Show on a Flame Tech Football Friday. Coming in hot on Game Plus TV across all 10 provinces and 31 states. And a big howdy do to the crew in downtown Toronto operating at the Game Plus controls. You notice John Frenzy joining us in the bunker here. Darren DuPont has not aged. He's getting like almost the day off. Moose DuPont is sitting in his office. John Frenzy's here, the Hall of Fame Saskatchewan Rough Riders broadcaster. And Frenzy, it's a really big football weekend, hey?
Yeah, it sure is. Fantastic weekend coming up. Unbelievable. Going to be very, very exciting. And I think that first game, you know, the Rams going into Green Bay is going to be quite something, because the Rams are playing well, but the Packers with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, they want to win the Grey Cup this year.
the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Well, he's still hung up in CFL thinking, and that's where we're going to go with our Quick Six show topics in a minute. I just want to tell you that we've got special guests on the program today in the form of one CFL player and one CFL alum. Our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, qualifies as the CFL alum. He's also a former Green Bay Packer and Cleveland Brown wideout. He'll be with us in block two of the program today. And Shaq Murray-Lawrence, I'm not sure who he's with anymore. 3 years with the BC Lions, 2019 with the Montreal Alouettes, and of course didn't play football in 2020. He is now on the Canadian National Bobsled Team. Shaq Murray-Lawrence. I know, it's unbelievable. It's mind-blowing. Yeah. He's a Scarborough, Ontario kid.
Quite an athlete.
He'll be joining us today to talk about that. But let's jump into the Quick Six show topics, please, on this Friday. Here's what we're talking about. And I advise the viewers, just hang on. We'll get to your comments in a minute. Lynch was particularly impressed with one, Lewis Lawner, writing from St. Louis, Missouri. And he says, "The snow has finally showed up here. Greetings from St. Louis, hoping for a CFL season. Rooting for the Packers. No one in St. Louis likes the Rams." So just throwing that out there. Our viewers in the show me state today. But number one, there's CFL news this morning. Where's my breaking news bell? Here it is. Out of Winnipeg, the reigning Grey Cup champions have agreed to a one-year contract extension with Andrew Harris. I was on the radio at TSN 1290 Winnipeg this morning with Jim and Troy, and we were talking about this, and they were like throwing confetti in the air that the Bombers have signed the reigning Grey Cup MVP and the most outstanding player of that game. Westwood asked if Andrew Harris is going down in history as the greatest Canadian running back ever. I'm a fan of John Cornish. Frenzy, it's between the two of them. Is it not? Or is there one of your era that you would think, a Canadian running back that would join those three?
Yeah, there is, Rod. His name was Normie Kwong, the China Clipper. Absolutely fantastic from, 1953 to 1971. Unbelievable football player. Could block, carry the football. A member of the great Edmonton teams when they won three Grey Cups in 53 to 55 with Johnny Bright beside him. Unbelievable combination. Impossible to stop those two. I have to think that Normie Kwong had speed, power, moves. Wasn't as fast as both those guys, but boy, he was a tough guy to bring down.
You are a literal walking encyclopedia.
But I bet you most people don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's why we have you here.
And he
historical
was,
perspective.
He wound up being his career in the world. Sounds creepy to say that, but as a lieutenant governor of Alberta, and he's deceased now, which is too bad.
I don't think there's anything creepy about that at all. But anyways, those are the three. Andrew Harris, John Cornish, and Normie Kwong. That's pretty esteemed company. But my take on the CFL is, I've been talking to people in the media in major markets across this country. They're not really paying attention to what's going on. They're all in the CFL. They're all in on the NHL. Okay, with the media people I've talked to. And they see these news releases and restructured deals. And I just got to say, guys, the news that I'm interested in from the CFL is, are you going to play? That's all I want to know. Don't talk to me about pay cuts. Don't talk to me about new deals and extensions. Are you playing or not? Because if you're not playing, nobody's getting paid. That's just me. I can't speak for everybody, but the news I want to know from the CFL is if you're going to play in 2021 or not.
When do they have to announce that by?
Isn't that the $64,000 question? Because some have said to me, the end of January, they're going to need an announcement. And I said, or what? And hence you find the limbo that the CFL continues to find itself in. Yeah. We'll come back on this, but point two, two NFL coach hirings. There were seven openings in the NFL for head coaches. Two have been filled. The Jets have hired Robert Saleh, former San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have hired Urban Meyer, he of OSU fame. The big question out of there is, they've got the number one overall pick, Jacksonville. Everybody thinks they'll take Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, the star quarterback, but Lynch, Justin Fields with the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
With OSU's history with Urban Meyer.
He coached him.
He likely recruited him.
Recruited him there, so he loves Justin Fields. I know that. Very interesting. But he'll get a quarterback. He'll certainly improve the quarterback position in Jacksonville with that choice this year. So going into next year, they're going to have a top-notch coach. I think this guy's a real winner, by the way. And a good quarterback who's played in big competition and been a winner, whether it's Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence.
Moving to point three, it's our poll question today. How did I word that? Can you put it up on the screen? Yeah, thanks, Clark. Thanks, producer Clark. Which underdog will win in the NFL divisional playoffs this weekend? It's a little different wording than what TSN Radio in Winnipeg put out today. Theirs was, which favorite will lose? Ours is, which underdog will win? And 40% of the people agree with me on Facebook voting, which tells me that they're right. It will be Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. John Lynch, however, has voted for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
What it means is four tremendous football games this weekend.
Sure are. How about the L.A. Rams going into Green Bay, eh? That's going to be a tough one for them, but they played very well lately. That big upset, of course, over Seattle. They look good, even though the quarterback position, the guy's got a sore thumb, but they're still playing pretty well. They got a great defense, an unbelievable defense. So I think that game, the first game of the weekend at, 3:35 on Saturday tomorrow, will be a sensational football game.
Colin McAnulty, one of our P1s from the Rod Squad watching in Ottawa, he says if the Jaguars pass on Trevor Lawrence, then all the football op staff should be fired. I won't agree or disagree, but I can tell you there's going to be a lot of drama around the opening night of the NFL draft for that very reason right there. Point four, Thursday night's NHL leftovers. What a night in the National Hockey League on night two. I was glued to my set, like many of you in Winnipeg, watching the Jets and the Calgary Flames. Wonderful pregame ceremony at Bell MTS Center. And in the end, Patrick Laine scored twice, including the overtime winner, and the Jets won 4-3. It was amazing. And what I came out of that game saying is, Patrick Laine, you could make a real case that he's the best player on the Winnipeg Jets hockey team. Therefore, you do not trade him if you don't have to.
Very well put.
Peter Pocklington traded Wayne Gretzky because he needed the cash.
Yeah.
So don't compare anybody to Wayne Gretzky in that situation. The players to this day say, well, even Wayne Gretzky got traded. Do you remember why? The owner was broke.
Yeah.
He sold him. Yeah. And if you don't need to trade Patrick Laine, then don't, because he's your best player.
Yeah.
Now, up the road in Edmonton, the Oilers came to life, or as I'm calling them, the Edmonton McOilers, because there's really only one guy going. Two, really. Leon Draisaitl is the other one. But you can't have two stars and 18 other guys. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, yeah, they're flash and dash and fun to watch, but they're not going to win anything.
Well, they made a lot of changes in the offseason and got some pretty good players in there, like Barry and Curtis. And I mean, I think that they could improve. They should improve. And this guy's a good coach. Dave Tippett did a great job in Dallas. Not so good in Vegas, but he's a good coach.
Arizona.
So,
He got them to the conference final in 2012.
Well,
don't forget, with Arizona.
Well, he's a good coach. He's been a winner. He knows what it's all about. And I would say if a guy like him can't do it without hockey team, I don't know who can.
Wayne in Victoria, B.C. is watching. He says, Rod, do you know why the Jets-Flames game was blacked out in B.C.? I can only suggest because you're not in their region. You're in the Canucks region. I think you got to do what I've done and broken down and shelled out the dough to NHL.com and Center Ice and buy the package for every game. Come on, it's worth it. And reason it this way. Mrs. P and I were going to go to the Florida Keys this winter. How much do you think that was going to cost? This here is a tiny fraction of that. I get every game at my fingertips every night. It lasts longer. What do we got? Breaking news. No, you don't. My prompter's not working. What's the breaking news? This must be big. This better be big. Oh. Well, this is great. Oh, sure. Now you tell me. We knew this in the break at the top of the hour. The Saskatchewan government has announced funding for junior hockey in the province. Each of the five WHL teams will get $600,000 each, while the SJHL as a league gets $1 million. That from Taylor Shire of Global Television. Thank you. 1 minute ago. So, that is big news. Ding for the junior hockey fans here in this province. You know the rest of the provinces are going to be howling frenzy.
Yep.
Oh, Saskatchewan's doing this.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
So thank you guys for that.
Good move. Good move.
I wasn't done yet. On the Vegas Golden Knights, they won 5-2 over the Anaheim Ducks. I didn't get the game. That's why I bought the Center Ice package, because I didn't have the game. And I panicked because I really wanted to watch Gary Lawless and the Vegas Golden Knights. So I went to the stats on the score app, immediately went to who was in goal for Vegas. Yeah. And it was Robin Leonard, yeah. Not Marc-Andre Fleury. So, yeah, I don't know that that's going to end well. That whole argument there in Vegas between the goal. He's the number one. Marc-Andre Fleury is the second most famous person in Las Vegas, Lynch. That's behind? Right. Who do you think's number one?
Brent Musburger. I don't know.
Wayne Newton.
Of course.
Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton, of course, yeah.
Duncan Shane.
Yeah. As a singer, you're a sewing machine.
More Saskatchewan sporting news. This came from Sask Curl yesterday, and it has ramifications across the country. These are big names. Team Dunstone, who made it all the way to the Brier semifinal last year. Team Dunstone will represent Saskatchewan at the Brier in Calgary. Team Sherry Anderson will represent Saskatchewan at the National Women's, the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. And my take on that is simply this. The losers, if you will, the teams that did not get anointed the provincial reps, went on Twitter and announced concession speeches and wished good luck to Team Dunstone and Sherry Anderson. Most other sports, they're complaining, stomping their feet, and going nuts. Yeah. And it just reiterated the classy nature of curling and why people love it so much.
Yeah.
Point six, the Raptors won. In Tampa, which is their home court, 111-108 over the Charlotte Hornets. Raptors now 3-8, and I'd love to see a statistics number as to what their chances are of making the playoffs. I know it's still way too early to count them out, but it doesn't look good. Those are our quick six show topics. Our rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions on Thursday was Mike Richards of Saga 960 Radio in Mississauga. And that's saying a lot because he beat out Dave Randorf, the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Thursday. Can you believe that, Frenzy?
No, I can't.
But Mike Richards was just so entertaining yesterday, talking about teasing the Prime Minister. In Sherland, insurgents on Capitol Hill in Ottawa. I couldn't believe what was coming out of his mouth. And rolling Justin Trudeau in the mud. Roll him in the mud. What else do we have? Back to that breaking news. They're very excited here in Saskatchewan. And people are writing in like crazy on the viewers. Greg Klevgaard. The dub is on. Fantastic. From Gary Alinkin in Winnipeg. Great news for the SJHL. From Jennifer Illingworth. She says, I'm thinking Fleury is going to Seattle. She's talking about Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yep. Yeah.
They can only protect one goalie, so you're right.
When do they put that team together pretty soon?
It'll be next this spring.
Possibly this spring.
Before the NHL draft.
They're going to be in the ice this year, or in 20, this year. 21, 22, definitely coming.
Colin McInulty in Ottawa says Elton John is way more famous than either The Flower or Wayne Newton. Well, Colin, does Elton John live in Las Vegas? I don't think he does. We're talking about people that get their mail in Las Vegas, i.e., it's their permanent residence. Come on! Out of all these things, Lynch, where do we go from here? It was interesting because we had all the NFL talk in hour one with Gus Frerotte. And I'll remind you that as of February 1st, we won't have to discuss hour one or hour two or an hour that you didn't see because both hours will be live right here on Game Plus Television.
I want to know.
Well, people really wanted to talk about the Atlantic Schooners. And these are from viewers from all across the country, by the way, not just here in the sweatpants capital. Why are they so fixated on the Atlantic Schooners?
I don't know. They are, though. A lot of people want that team to be there, but they're not the right people, I guess. I don't know. It's very hard to figure. That mayor, both the mayors we've talked to, very noncommittal, not very enthused about the thing at all. Maybe we got to get Miss Masters down there as a mayor for a month or two to get things going, eh, from Regina. I don't know. It's too bad because it'd go over so big, be so great. People I know down there that live in Regina and we're great Rider fans here, say the atmosphere is the same. It would be a real thing, a natural thing. But if you get a mayor who doesn't know what a football is and doesn't care, it makes it rather difficult to push it through. But I don't know why I say that. I'm speaking on both sides of my mouth. But they've got college football, good college football. Acadia, another one there. There two
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, two great schools. Have been champions of the football, the University Football League in Canada for years on different occasions. So they know what football's all about, and they know what good Canadians are all about, and they know what the CFL is really all about. I just don't see why somebody hasn't got off their bottom and made the big move. And there's
right.
something there we don't know.
Right. Well, it's hard to make projections on these things when we don't have all the facts.
Right.
But I'll say it again. Very big news here in Saskatchewan, and I'm wondering how much this filters across the country. The province announcing $600,000 per WHL team to play this year and $1 million to the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League as a league. So Peter Mills of the CBC tweeting it, Taylor Shire of Global tweeting it. So there you go. That's taken up half the screen, for goodness sakes. But I know a lot of people tuning in and wanting to know our thoughts. All was not dead. 24 hours ago, the Saskatchewan Hockey Association announcing there wasn't expected to be hockey until the end of March. And all of a sudden, boom, a complete reversal. This is for top flight junior hockey. Doesn't mean as much for the AAA leagues and AA and so forth.
That's fantastic, eh?
Great. We will break and be back in a moment with Tory Gurley, our NFL insider. You are watching the RP Show on Game Plus Television Network daily on YouTube Live and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. Hall of Fame Rough Riders broadcaster John Frenzy's with us. And this breaking news, just ahead of bringing in our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, is that the Saskatchewan government is going to fund a return to play of hockey for junior teams in Saskatchewan, $600,000 each to the WHL teams and $1 million to the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And it's the reactions already avalanching in. My phone's gone off. People saying, is this just for the teams to stay alive or for them to play? And it's been very clearly laid out to me. It's to play. They are returning to the ice. And from Nelson, our VP of Sim Events, would you mind putting that up on the screen? He says, you do it for one. You do it for all. As much as the dub is classified as minor sports, it is still a business. Do we see a similar cash injection to prop up CFL teams across the country? Where do you draw the line? Didn't take long, did it, Lynch?
It sure didn't. I was expecting that.
They're funding junior hockey, and then the CFL fans say, where's ours?
Yeah.
So anyways, let's move on and bring in Tory Gurley now for some very exciting NFL talk as we head into the divisional playoff round. We got John Frenzy with a list of questions for you, Tory. But I'll say happy Friday to you, sir. How was your week?
It's going well, extremely busy. Obviously, we have football playoffs is going on, and I'm excited to see the matchups this weekend.
The matchups are, as you know, the Rams at the Packers, the Ravens at the Bills, the Browns at the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers at the Saints. And I'll start with this. Our poll question is, which underdog wins? I voted for the Buccaneers. They're leading our polls. Who do you see pulling off an upset this weekend?
I hate to say this, but I think the Cleveland Browns can upset the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, my God.
Why?
It's scary. It is so I've been in this situation before. When I was in Green Bay, we were the number one team. We're 15-1. We took the week off before week 16. So Aaron didn't play in week 16. Then we had the bye week, and then we had to play in the playoff game. So that was 3 weeks where Aaron was not on the field. And a similar situation is about to happen for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's been 3 weeks since he's played, and the Cleveland Browns are just rolling. I don't know what's going on in Cleveland. There's something in the water where these guys are really trying to be road warriors, and it's scary because it happens every year where a wild card team just jumps up and beats a juggernaut, and that's football. And that's the thing about it. It's not like the NBA finals or the playoffs where you get five games. You only have to be great for one game. So the Kansas City Chiefs are on upset alert.
Okay, just before Frenzy, I got to ask you, how did the Browns win in Pittsburgh? And I saw pundits say, and you probably did too, that they didn't win it. The Steelers lost it. They gave it to them. Is that insulting in your mind, given the fact they went in without a head coach and no practice? Like, how did they do it?
Yeah, nothing is given in the NFL. Yeah, everything is earned. So when you go out there and you go on a road and you beat that team and you punch them in the mouth, those guys were focused, you know. And that's the thing about, you know, we're all human. Like, we all felt that way about Cleveland. You know, it's Cleveland. And Cleveland were the only guys that believed it was us against the world, and they went out and proved it against Pittsburgh. They executed on offense. Defensively, they made Ben Roethlisberger turn the ball over. Juju Smith-Schuster was more worried about his TikTok than going out there winning a playoff game. And ultimately, the Browns came out with the victory. So you never can take an opponent lightly, especially in the playoffs, because they will humble you.
Corey, I got to ask you this one. My favorite coach, one of the great coaches in college football, 3 national championships, Urban Meyer, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you think? Can he do it? Is it too? He's never coached in the NFL before. Can he make that change?
Yeah, of course he can coach in the NFL. I don't know how successful he's going to be because now he doesn't have the talent of being able just to recruit. You know, in the NFL, it's all about scouting, and you really can't manipulate guys coming to your team. See, at Ohio State, those guys were a monopoly where kids were doing whatever it took to be at Ohio State or Florida Gators when he was coaching there. So now in the NFL, everyone is professionals, and we're really going to see if he has what it takes to coach pro sports.
Well, quarterback-wise, so he's going to get the first-round draft choice. He'll either take Lombard from Clemson or
Lawrence
or his old buddy.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields from Ohio State, because he knows him real well. Both are good quarterbacks. Both are rated 1 and 2, the top 2 prospects this year. How do you see that?
Yeah, he was at the game when they played in the playoff game, Ohio State versus Clemson, and he got to scout both guys. It really doesn't matter who you take. I feel like both quarterbacks are extremely talented, but it's Jacksonville. You're rebuilding, so it's not like you're playing college ball anymore. Like, now you have to play against the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, the Patrick Mahomes of the world. And so when you compare Trevor Lawrence or Patrick Mahomes to his counterparts, you're not even going to think twice about it. Like, you're going to continue to bank on guys like Aaron and those elite quarterbacks to get jobs done. So we will see how these guys transition from college to NFL, and hopefully Urban can get it done. But if not, at least he's collecting another big payday like he's always done in his coaching career.
Torrey, what are your thoughts on the Brady versus Breeze matchup? It's a novelty, right? They're 85 years of age combined. Today, I believe, is Drew Brees' 42nd birthday, I think, today. How do you see that game playing out?
bunch of old guys, but you know what? This is what makes football extremely fun because they've experienced it all. They're savvy vets, been in the league 18 plus years. So defensively, there isn't too much that gets by them. They understand what they see, but it's all about execution. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they have a great rapport and chemistry, and hopefully those guys can go out and play well. And with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, it's been a rocky road, but everybody knows exactly how TB12 locks in this time of the year. You know, he is one of the best to ever do it. And for us to sit back and be able to watch this this coming weekend, we should enjoy it while we can.
You Lynch fired a bunch of questions at Gus Frerotte last hour, and I'm going to put them to you. Same questions. How did you feel about the Eagles firing Doug Peterson and that it looks like it came down to Carson Wentz versus Doug Peterson and the quarterback won? And I was telling Frenzy that you're buddies with Jalen Hurts, so maybe you have some inside info. What's your take on this whole deal?
Yeah, it's bad. It's one of those situations where in sports, the money stays. And literally, when you have a $100 million quarterback that you just paid, you have to place blame on someone. So they can't get rid of Carson Wentz because of the contract situation. So they find a way to sweep it under a rug by firing a coach and making it look like they're cleaning things up. But ultimately, they still have a problem in Philadelphia. You have two quarterbacks. You have one guy that's overpaid, and you have another guy that's inexperienced but has the ability to be the guy. And that's going to put the owner and the general manager in a delicate situation when it comes to moving forward, because you can't have two quarterbacks on one team.
And can you have the owner firing the head coach like they did with Leary coming down and say, heck, we got to get rid of the coach so we can keep Carson Wentz happy? I mean, really a stupid situation, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what the owner can do, but unfortunately, it's truly not going to help. You know, it's just a Band-Aid when someone needs surgery. So they're still going to have this problem going into next year when Carson Wentz starts playing bad, and whenever COVID is lifted and you have, you know, 70, 80,000 Philadelphia fans in Lincoln Field, they're going to be upset. They're going to be pissed off that Carson isn't playing well, and they're going to want to hear Jalen Hurts. They're going to want to see him in a game. And it just puts you back in the same situation you're in now. So hopefully they can get it together. If not, it's just going to be a disaster next year.
One more for Torrey Gurley, our NFL insider. You're sitting in Toronto. You're so connected in NCAA, NFL, and CFL. What's the buzz from your circle with the Canadian Football League for 2021 and where we sit here today?
A lot of guys are still sitting in limbo. Like, from the players I've spoke to over the past, players have just decided to handle business by taking care of their family and just having a job where, you know, they're somewhat putting off football. And I don't blame them, because you don't want to be in a fluid situation where one day they tell you're going to play and then the next day they switch up the rules on you. And you know, my heart always goes out to the player, because I know exactly what it's like to be in that situation. And I just hope eventually the government and everyone else can come up to a agreement where they're going to stick with something and they just roll.
Well, you wonder what's going on, though. The Saskatchewan Roughriders announced now another quarterback signing last week. We now have five quarterbacks. Never had that many going into the season. Five with pretty good credentials. So it looks to me like the Roughriders are serious, and they've told us that we're going to play this way this year. And on Sunday, June the 10th, the Montreal Alouettes will be in Saskatchewan to open the season. Now, some people are believing that. And the schedule has been sent out to all the season ticket holders. So the Riders are trying to create a real positive scene. And they must have something in their minds, what they can do to make it happen.
I truly hope so, because I would love to fly out there, Kim and I, and watch the game and support the Canadian Football League. So I applaud them for moving forward and having an optimistic mindset. But until we hear something from the government, I really can't, hold true to it until it comes from them, because ultimately they're the ones that dictate exactly what's going on in this profession.
Well, Torrey, you would be the prized feature of our tailgate party. Wouldn't he be Lynch at the Armory, right beside the stadium with the Canadian Armed Forces?
My gosh. You got to come and see it.
It'd be like a petting zoo.
Yeah, it's great. It really is.
I'm cooking. That's what I want to do. I want to go out there and barbecue.
Clark just said that. You'll be the cook. Can you imagine Torrey's Grill? We'll open Torrey's Grill at the tailgate party.
I hope we can do it.
The soldiers would love it.
I hope it happens, Torrey.
It's a date.
They settled the season ticket, yes. So I don't know what that means, but
yeah, exactly. It's a date. Torrey, we'll let you go. Enjoy the games, my friend, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks for having me.
You betcha. Our NFL insider, Torrey Gurley, CFL insider too. I don't know where my Kia hat is, but his appearances every week brought to you by Wheaton Kia. You can find them in North Regina at the corner of Albert and Avonhurst. And John Frenzy, put the camera on. Yeah, he's got his Kia shirt on too as well. But they've been looking at it all show.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Thank you, Frenzy.
Been a great,
thank
great
you.
Morning.
When we come back, Shaq Murray Lawrence. This is an interview that I am so looking forward to. CFL veteran, UNLV alum, and a member of Canada's national bobsled team. That's next. Sports update and viewer takeover as well. It's the RP Show, and you're watching on Game Plus Television. Live daily on YouTube, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, Moose DuPont will be here. Trust me, he will be here because we have the face-off segment coming up later on for the Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek Restaurant. Just before Shaq Murray Lawrence joins us, we do have breaking news today. The Saskatchewan government announcing they'll be funding the teams of the Western Hockey League here, 5 of them, and the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, 11 of them. $600,000 for the Dub teams, $1 million for the SJHL as a league. And the question is that for their own survival or for a return to play? And I've been told in no uncertain terms it is for a return to play. If that's incorrect, somebody please let me know on my personal line or the Prairie Mobile text line. But for now, they're popping champagne corks around the 306. All right, Shaq Murray Lawrence, been following this guy's career for a long time, calling his games. Of course, bust onto our scene with the BC Lions in 2015, where he spent 3 seasons, and then the Montreal Alouettes in 2019. And then we kind of lost track of him like everybody else in the CFL in 2020. And then we find out he's on a bobsled. Shaq Murray Lawrence, welcome to the RP Show today. Happy New Year, my friend. What is your story, my man? What is going on with you?
COVID hit and didn't really have anything to do. You know, everybody was kind of sitting around in limbo. And the Canada bobsled team reached out to me back in 2017. But I was involved in a car accident. So didn't go out, missed a couple seasons, you know. Got picked up by Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Was on the practice squad, just kind of getting healthy. Went to the Alouettes, failed a medical. You know, when things finally started getting rolling, you know, we got hit with COVID. So finally, I got my opportunity, you know, to come out to participate, you know, and earn a spot on the Team Canada team.
Now, your agent told me that you just recently competed in Germany. Like, what has your schedule been like here recently?
Recently, it's been pretty much everyday training, you know, training or working on the sled, just working on our craft, you know, just trying to get better and get ready for the Olympics.
Well, it's interesting that you said that Team Canada reached out for you. We all know Jesse Lumsden, of course, right? Lummer, Canadian running back in a Hart Crichton winner with McMaster, has done this before you. So is Team Canada actively recruiting Canadian fullbacks, running backs like yourself, or what? Did he pave the road for you somewhat?
I think he did pave the way, and I think the mold just for the bobsled athlete, you know, football kind of goes hand in hand, you know, with just the speed and power and all the things necessary to push the sled, you know, at a high rate of speed and get in. I think football is just one of those sports that go hand in hand.
Viewer Greg Klevgaard writes in and he says, cool runnings, man. Congratulations. were you familiar with the John Candy movie? Or if not, when did that get on your radar? The Jamaican bobsled team?
Honestly, I was familiar with it, you know, growing up. But as soon as I got on the team, that's all I heard. was just Cool Runnings, you know, every reference, Cool Runnings this, Cool Runnings that, you know, I got the dreadlocks. My mom's actually Jamaican, so, you know, it's very familiar to us.
Well, obviously now it's a flood of questions to me. This is a very uplifting, positive story. Can you please compare to me being a member of the Canadian National Bobsled Team to being a CFL player? What are the differences? What's the training like? What's your life like? What's the travel like? Are they similar at all?
I would say the travel a lot further, obviously. Right now we're in Switzerland, and we just left Germany, just competed in the Euro Cup. So travel for me is completely different. You stay at a place for a week instead of, you know, a couple days or whatever, getting ready for a game. Training, all similar stuff, you know, big heavy lifts, a lot of sprinting, a lot of running. The film for me is the same, you know, kind of approach it the same way. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Everything is kind of similar. I would say being a member of Team Canada is a little bit more prideful, you know, than being a part of a CFL organization that can cut you at any point or whatever, you know.
My apologies for not being too up with bobsled terminology. I'll watch it at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But like, what position are you, Shaq?
So I'm a brakeman in the foreman. So pretty much I'm the last guy to get in at my position. So you have two side guys and you got a pilot, and I'm the last guy, which has to be the fastest guy.
Wow. So where do you go from here? Again, I'm not familiar with it. I'm expecting to see you guys at the Winter Olympics because you're Canada. This is what we do. What do you have to do to get there?
Just keep competing. Right now we're on the World Cup circuit, you know, just trying to rack up some medals and just improve our rankings, you know, qualify as many sleds as we can. Right now we got two sleds qualified and, you know, we're working on a third one just to get more athletes to the games. And that's pretty much it, man. Just getting ready for next year.
I hope you don't mind my rapid fire questions at you, Shaquille, but I'm fascinated by this, obviously. Do you ever anticipate a return to the CFL at all, or is this your future path now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think I'm far, far from done playing football. This was just an avenue, an opportunity that opened up to me. And I just said, why not, you know? Why not go out and compete instead of being at home, you know, probably doing nothing, you know? So this was just another opportunity to keep competing at a high level, you know, and representing my country.
Well, there's also never really been a clause in CFL contracts that you can't do other things outside of your contract. I would assume right now that you classify as a free agent anyways, but as far as being a dual sport athlete, I mean, Lummer did it after his CFL career, if I'm not mistaken. You're doing it during your CFL career. So how do you think that would work in terms of cross-training and so forth?
It's something I talked about, you know, with coaches on both sides. I know before I came out here, you know, I reached out to Kahari. You know, me and Kahari have a great relationship. He was with me in BC. And just kind of told him, you know, I wanted to come out and pursue this, and he was behind me. The rest of the coaches were behind me. Everyone was excited, so there was no clashing involved in that.
You know what? I know Kahari very well. And I could just imagine the conversation, him grinning ear to ear. He's probably thinking this is going to make you a better football player. Am I right?
Right. Oh, yeah, completely. Better football player, better athlete, you know? This is a very explosive sport, downhill, so a lot of overspeed training. And it'll just lead right into the season. You know, I play football right after the football season's done. Put the bike helmet back on, you know, the bobsled helmet back on, and get ready for the games, man.
Yeah, just don't get hurt. That's the other thing. But I think, just think of these great experiences that you're having traveling around the world. I mean, Kahari is such a universal big thinker. That's why I get it. And he did a lot of things outside of football, too, and it's made him a better person for it. I'll say this. You know, you're from Scarborough, and I recall calling those games Rough Riders against the Lions, and I'm like, Shaq Murray-Lawrence, you were primarily a kick returner, right? And I'm looking at this as UNLV, and I'm like, he's Canadian? But we're at a point now in Canadian football where that it's not shocking that Canadians are playing in NCAA at high levels. We're seeing that, right? And now it's not a shock anymore to see a stud player like yourself that's from Scarborough. So I'm sure you're itching to get back on a football field too. I mean, what, maybe we'll end on that. What is your take on the CFL for 2021 and beyond? What are your plans?
honestly, my plans are just, you know, focus on the World Cup tour. You know, we got World Cup, we got World Championships coming up. So take care of business first and foremost. And then when it's time to worry about football, you know, kind of just switch to that football mode. I think the season is still up in the air. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if COVID's going to stick around another year, you know, 2 years, but I'd rather not wait and just, you know, kind of sitting around like we did last year.
Moving on with your life, and I should have known, one day at a time, worry about what's right in front of you, and that's why you've had the success, that success that you've had. Shaquille, thanks for the time. I appreciate New World Agency for hooking us up. Now I'm the biggest fan of Canadian bobsled. We'll be watching now. Good luck, man, and all the best in 2021.
Thank you, Rod. Thanks for having me.
All right, Shaq Murray-Lawrence from the Canadian National Men's Bobsled Team, and also of the Montreal Alouettes. I want to do a sports update before we break and then bring Dupes in here for the face-off and overtime. Andrew Harris is back. Breaking news this morning for another year with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The veteran running back signed a one-year contract extension with his hometown team today. But the 33-year-old Winnipegger says he was more than willing to commit to a longer deal. Financial details weren't divulged, but many CFL players have re-signed for less money, with the league having not operated in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Harris said the extension was never about money. The Raptors are back in the win column following their 111-108 victory Thursday night over the Charlotte Hornets in Tampa. Kyle Lowry added 16 points and 12 assists. Chris Boucher led with 25 points and 10 rebounds as the Raps improved to 3-8. The Boston Celtics expect their week-long COVID-19 break to end today when they're scheduled to host the Orlando Magic. Three of Boston's games were postponed this week. In all, 8 NBA games since Sunday have been postponed, including tonight's Wizards-Pistons game in Detroit. Connor McDavid had a hat trick and added an assist as the Edmonton Oilers beat the Canucks 5-2 at Rogers Place one night after losing 5-3 against Vancouver. Meanwhile, Patrick Laine scored his second goal of the game in overtime, and the Winnipeg Jets started their season with a 4-3 home win at home over the Calgary Flames. The Maple Leafs and Senators renew their Battle of Ontario tonight with the first of two games in 2 days in Ottawa. It's the Sens' season opener, while Toronto started its campaign Wednesday with a 5-4 overtime win at home over Montreal. Third overall pick, Tim Stützle of Germany, is expected to make his debut for Ottawa. This sports update for the Tab Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, now with 8 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours today at g2gbars.ca. You see the screen, text us. Viewer takeover in next. Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, live daily on YouTube, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Moose DuPont's in here, too. And don't forget, Clark, the business of the week. I think I got the monitor working here right now. Hey, we've been doing viewer takeover all show long, so as we welcome Moose, how are you, Moose?
I'm great.
What have you been doing all day? Business?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you have.
It's been awesome. I love it.
Every day is awesome around here. Are you kidding me? This ain't work.
I know.
So we're going to do the face-off right now, guys, for the Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek. And the question is this. I believe this was Clark's question, so I'm giving him credit. Who's the most emotionally scarred fan base in Canadian NHL teams? Okay? You know it's a long list.
Yeah.
And you want to immediately say the Edmonton Oilers, but they shouldn't be. I mean, I'm the child of the 80s, man, where they won 4 Stanley Cups in the 80s, another in 1990. For 5 Stanley Cups, come on, it's over. Forget it. It's not the Oilers, as much as you want to think it's the Oilers. Calgary Flames, the difference between them and a Bra is what? A Bra has 2 cups. But at least they have 1.
Yes.
when you're talking about aggrieved fan bases, okay, that's my take, and I always look at the Prairies and the Bermuda Triangle where we reside here in the Bermuda Triangle. But as a Leafs fan, you probably going, over here, us.
a little bit. You know, I think with the Oilers recently, it's very fresh. There's a wound there because of all the first-round picks. They should have probably won a cup or two by now, or three or four, right, with all those first overall picks and top three picks. I think with the Leafs, there's enough scar tissue there that we're not hurting anymore. Right?
Okay.
The wound is a permanent scar.
You don't
even
know what the good times are.
Exactly. You know, the wound is so long ago that this is just the way it is. We're not winning. Vancouver, for me, is the most emotionally damaged. The fact that when they get good and the country wants to embrace them, they start screaming and say, no, we don't want to be
and push them all away.
And push everybody away because they're still hurting so bad.
They're damaged.
It's Vancouver.
You nailed it. And the viewers are chiming in. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says it's the Leafs. Media pumps them up and gives them too high of an expectation, leading to a letdown. Joe Lazito says, I'd say Toronto, but so much of that is self-inflicted. Everybody wants to say Toronto. Clearly, it's not Montreal. Viewer Chris Bird in Toronto wrote in and said that this is the most excited Ottawa fans have been in franchise history because tonight they open the season at home and there will be no Leafs fans in attendance. It's Vancouver because not only do they go on a run and they push the rest of the country away, we're all trying to wrap our arms around them and give them love. And they're like, no, no. That's hurting, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get to game seven of the Stanley Cup thrice.
Oh.
And lost every single time. That is a whole new level of hurt. So we didn't. Nobody won this faceoff.
No.
We've agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for the one where you get kicked out of the face-off circle.
Drop an F-bomb or something. Get kicked right. out. I don't know what else would do it.
The face-off is for the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw. We're watching the commercials and our mouth is drooling. Maybe we got to head over there. Maybe today.
Yeah.
Visit their website at themadgreekeatery.com. They're available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Ultimate Fan Zone as well, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Craig Campbell from the Hockey Hall of Fame watching. He says, great news about the SJHL and WHL teams. Thanks for another entertaining show. Enjoy your weekend. Same to you, Craig, and enjoy the hockey. But I want to just pump the brakes here for a second. We're not totally sure the money is for a return to play. You said that when you came in here, and you were just being honest. We don't know for certain that the bailout from the provincial government is to get back to the ice. Just yesterday, Sask Hockey was informed no hockey until the end of March. And now, it would be nice on the Twitter if somebody said it was for a return to play, because I've been sitting here for the last 2 hours. I wasn't on the conference call, or I didn't get the news release.
This is
so what... What do you think?
This is one you can't just buy your way out of, though, too. It's wonderful, and it shows that the government's supporting it. But health and safety protocols and the health officials, they have to make the final sign-off. So just because you put money at it doesn't mean it's a return to play.
So stick to our social media channels throughout the weekend. We'll give you the latest and the greatest. And in the minute that we have left, for the MySask 411 Business of the Week, where we connect Saskatchewan businesses with each other, AIM Electric Limited specializes in everything from residential wiring to commercial and industrial projects. They are 100% locally owned with more than 35 successful years in the electrical industry. From their office and warehouse at 515 43rd Street in Saskatoon, they provide electrical contracting as well as service and maintenance to their clients throughout Saskatchewan. They also offer 24-hour emergency services. That's AIM Electric Limited. Thank you to Ken Lega of Saskatoon for helping us out with that, and that is our MySask 411 Business of the Week. Coming up on Monday, the Golden Knights' Gary Lawless. You asked for him, you got him. And from Team Dunstone, Brady Muscoey. Great job, Producer Clark, the entire crew. Enjoy the weekend, everybody, and we'll see you here on Game Plus Monday at noon. Now I'm the whore and the pimp. That's where the money is.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.